Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Kuf Tes,
and we are 12 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis. So the Gemara is continuing along discussing the topic of Elu She'ein Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba, specifically certain generations that will have no Chelek in L'Olam Haba. The Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFloga, the Anshei Sedayim, the Meraglim, the Dor HaMidbar, and the Hadas Koyach. So the primary topic of yesterday's daf was the Dor HaMabul, Parshas Noyach. This morning we're going to speak a little bit about the Dor HaFloga, and then we're going to go into a whole daf that talks about the Anshei Sedayim, which, of course, not coincidentally, it's Parshas Vayera, it's all Psukim that are mentioned in this week's Parsha. Either way, 12 lines from the bottom. Zokta Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan, L'mishpichaseyem yotzu min ha-teva. It says that when the animals left the teva, they left L'mishpichaseyem. Each family left by its own. Am Rabbi Yochanan, L'mishpichaseyem v'loyhem. You see from there that when the animals were in the teva, they weren't all together. They weren't all eating out of the same trough, but rather they were grouped by mishpachas. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Eliezer l'shem Rabba. So Rav Chana bar Bizna told the following story, that Eliezer, as in Eliezer Eved Avram, once met the great Shem, as in Shem ben Noyach. And he told him, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, L'mishpachaseyem yotzu min hateva. So I understand that the animals, they were all congregated together with their families. Atun heichon avyisun. How about you? I don't have a lot of information about you, your brothers, the wives, your father Noyach, your mother. Where were you while the Mabul was taking place, for the 12 months that you were in the teva? Amaleisa, he told him, if you want me to explain and describe our experience in the teva, I can tell it to you in one line. Tsar gadol hayolanu bateva. It was a tremendous pain while we were in the teva. For example, there were certain animals that had to be fed during the day. We fed them during the day. Animals that had to be fed at night, we would feed them at night. There's an animal, it's called the zikisa. My father, Noach, he didn't know how to feed it. He didn't know what food he was supposed to eat. One day, he was sitting, he was cutting a pomegranate. And as he's cutting the pomegranate, a worm came crawling out of the pomegranate. The zikisa saw the worm and he jumped on it. So Noach had been feeding him food. He gave him meat, he gave him chicken, he gave him potatoes, nothing. He didn't want anything that Noach gave him. He sees this worm crawling out of the pomegranate and he jumped after it. He was like, by a kiddush, says the Gemara, Mikan Ve'elach. From that point on, have a gabal echizra. So what he would do is he would go out of his way to make worms. So he would take bran, he would soak it in water, and kimaslo. When it became wormy, achla, he would give it to him. He continued, Shem. He said, Aryeh, there was a lion, and again, my father couldn't feed the lion. It was a problem. But what happened was, Ishta Zinse, the lion had a fever, and the fever somehow sustained him. The Amar Rav, because Rav once said, Loi batzer mishita, for loi tvei mitresa zayna ishta. If a person has a fever, he can go sometimes somewhere between 6 days and 12 days without eating. He loses his appetite, or maybe it sustains him in some way. But either way, Shem told him, we didn't really know how to take care of the lion, but Hashem made that it should chap a fever, and the fever somehow sustained it. Avarshina, there was another animal, the Avarshina, Ashkechinu Abba, the Gani, Besafta the Tevusa, he was doing his own thing. He was a little introverted in the teva. So the animals were mingling, making conversations, socializing. And this Avrashina is doing his own thing. Amale. So my father went over to him and he told him, like, boss, mezoine, you don't want to eat? Amale. So he told him, I'll be honest with you. Chazisich tahavi trida. I see you have so much on your hand. You're serving so many meals. Amina lo yitzarech. I don't want to cause you tzar. Amale. He told him, yehi rava, I give you a bracha, the way Thomas, that you shouldn't die. Shenema va'omer imkini egva. The chachoil, like the choil arbe yomim, you should have arichus yomim. Either way, so Eliezer Eved Avram meets Shem ben Noach, and he says, can you describe to me a little bit what it was like to be in the teva? And he said, tsar gadol hayu lanu bateva. And this, of course, is matim with what we spoke about yesterday. We mentioned the Chasam Sofer, that the Chasam Sofer says that when Chazal say that the mishpat of the Dor HaMabul was Yud Beis Chodesh, it wasn't referring to the Dor HaMabul. It was actually referring to Noach and his family. That Noach and his family, al pi the Zohar HaKadosh, they had to be punished for not preventing the Mabul from happening on their level, despite the fact that v'noyach matzachim b'ni Hashem, and Noach was an ish tzaddik tamim hayah b'dei roisav, but it was expected and understood for Noach to have done more. He tells through the Gemara Makis that we're going to learn next week, where the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol somehow plays a role in the Ritzeach B'Shoigig. Right, the Ritzeach B'Shoigig has to go to Golas until the Kohen Gadol dies. What does the Kohen Gadol have to do with the Ritzeach B'Shoigig? Because if you're the Kohen Gadol, you're the leader, you bear responsibility for everything that happens in your generation. So the Chasam Sofer says, and it's really based on a Zayar, that Noach and his family were somewhat responsible for what happened in the Dor HaMabul. They needed tikkun. Their tikkun was the Yud Beis Chodesh that they spent in the Teva. Either way, that's the Tsar Gadol Hayuranu Teva, that the Teva was really an implement that was there to save Noach and his family, but also to give them tikkun on the role that they played in the Dor HaMabul. But the Gemara continues. Amar Rab Chanan bar Levi, Amar Hashem Rabba le Eliezer. So Eliezer is debriefing Shem. He's asking him questions. Tell me a little bit about what it was like in the Teva. And now Shem tells Eliezer, you know, I have a question for you. You know, I'm familiar with the war amongst the kings, and Avram Avinu, your master, was able to defeat these kings. How did he do it? So he told him, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram. And he sat him next to him. And we, Avram, sounds like maybe Hashem and Eliezer, we would throw offer, we would throw dust, the havi charbe, and they would turn into swords. Gili, we would throw straw, the havi giri, and they would turn into arrows. Shenemar. The pasuk says, "Ladovid mizmar num Hashem, la doini shavli mini ad oshes oivecho hadoim lo raglech," which the Gemara is interpreting as "Noum Hashem." Hashem is talking to Adoini, referring to Avram Avinu. He says, "Shavli mini." Sit next to me. Ad oshes oivecha adem l'raglecha. Until we defeat your enemy. Uksiv miheir mi mizrach tzedek yikra'eu l'ragloi. Yitein lefanav goyim u'molochim yerd. Yitein ka'ofar charboi. The offer is going to turn into a cherev. Kakosh nidev kashtoi. Either way, so Eliezer tells Shem, you want to know how we defeated the kings? We defeated the kings miraculously. We didn't do it with guns and knives and swords and tanks. The way we defeated the kings was with offer. We would take offer, we would take straw, we would throw it, and miraculously, somehow that turned into weapons, and that's the way we were able to fight the war. Now the Gemara tells a very well-known story. Nochem ish gamzu, haverokel, dekola v'desalkele, omar gamzu l'toiva, nochem ish gamzu. Whenever something would happen to him, didn't matter how bad it seemed, he would always say Gamzu L'Toyva. Thus, he earned the title of Nochem Ish Gamzu. Says the Gemara, Yei Mechad, Bo Yisrael Shadur Derin L'Kesar. Once upon a time, the Yidden wanted to send a present to the Kesar of Rami. Amru. So they said, Behadi Manishad, who should we send it with? And they needed a shliach, somebody that was going to be the messenger. He's going to go now, and he's going to bring the gift to the Kesar of Rami. So they said, Nashadi Mohammed Nochem Ish Gamzu. Let's send it with Nochem Ish Gamzu. The Melubit Benisimu, because he's a big Baal Moifes, he's Melubit Benisim, he knows how to read Kvitla. He gives avtochis. He's somebody that we should send it with. He's a greiser rebbe. He's the one that should do it. Says the Gemara, Kimot Allahu diuro. Nochem Ish Gamzu is now carrying with this very expensive gift. He has a box full of money, gold, diamonds, and he's going to deliver this to the Kesi of Rai. But on his way, he had to stay over somewhere. Boyle Mavis, Amrile. So they asked him, my ikubadoch. They asked Nochem Ish Gamzu, tell me, what are you carrying in your chest? Amrile told him, Komayvil Nekargala Kesar. Says, we have a gift representing the Jewish people, and we're bringing it to the case of Rami. Come over, Laila, middle of the night, people got up. They opened up Nochem Ish Gamzu's chest. They emptied it out. They took all the money for themselves. And they replaced it with dirt. Nochem Ish Gamzu had no idea. When he arrived by the case of Rami, he says, I'm here as an emissary of the Jewish nation. We want to present you with the following gift. So there's this big ceremony. The case of Rami opens it up, and it was filled with us. Offer, says the Gemara, Ishtakach Afra, Omar, he said, Achuki kamichaych b'yudai, the Jews are mocking me, they're making fun of me, Afkula miktale, kill him. Omar, he said, Gamzu l'toiva, Asa liyo, says the Gemara, liyo, no, he came, Vidmu l'kechad minayo, and he came, appeared, disguised as a Roman officer. Omalu tells them, you know, the Jews, they have offer in their lore that was very, very miraculous. Dil mahai afro me afro davram avinuhu. Davishodi afro, he would throw it, havi charbi, it would turn into swords. Gili, havi giri, straw would turn into arrows. Baduk. He says, why don't we check it out? So the Gemara says they checked it, va'ashkechu hachi, and miraculously that's what happened. Says the Gemara, have a machayza, there was a certain shtetl to have a koyachle the mechveshe, that for whatever reason, the Romans, with all their strength and all their might, were having a difficult time conquering. Shodem hu'afra, they now use this new secret weapon of kavshua, and they were able to conquer it. So the Gemara says, avulu v'ignasa, the Romans and the Caesar, he was so blown away by this gift that he had just received from Nachum Ishgamzu, and from the Jews, he took him into his base genozim, he opened up the safe, Amri, and he told him, Shkol denichaloch, you can take whatever you want. Matli the sifted the hava. So Nachum Ishgamzu filled it all up with gold, and now he's heading back to Yerushalayim, he's heading back to the Yadar Asa. On his way home, Amrulei Hanuch Diyaris, he stayed in the same hotel that he had stayed in previously. So they asked him, tell me a little bit about what happened when you were in Rome. So he told him, listen, it's a great story. I had offer. I gave it to them. This offer turned out to be a miraculous offer. And they were able to defeat a village that they were never able to conquer. When they heard that, they said, wow, I mean, this offer's in our backyard. They never realized what they had going on over here. So the Gemara says, Amalahu, Maida Shakli Mehach, Amti Lahasam. Shakli Inu. So they went and they filled up a chest. Amtu Lahasam. They went to the Romans and they tried Fakaifing him. He says, we have more of this offer. Either way, they tried it. Needless to say, it didn't work. And Kotlinu Lahanich de Yuri, and the Romans ended up killing these people for what it was they did. Either way, so the Gemara tells a story about what Shem ben Noach told Eliezer Eved Avram in terms of what happened when they were in the Teva, which is the topic of this part of the daf, the Dor HaMabul. So the Gemara then tells us the rest of the story. Then Shem asked Eliezer, how were you and Avram able to defeat the kings? And then Agav Urchi, on the topic of this miraculous offer, which Avram Avinu used to defeat the kings, we tell a story where it would reappear to Nachum Ishgamzu, who was Melumed Benisim. It's interesting, because the Gemara mentions Nachum Ishgamzu, who no matter what would happen, he would always say Gamzu L'Toiva. There's another person, another Tzaddik, Tana, personality in Chas, where whenever anything bad would happen, would always say it's for the good. Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva would say, Kol ma de avid rachmana, the tav avid. That's why we have so many Gemaras. It's going to come up again in the next few days. But the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva would always say that whatever Hashem did, Kol ma de avid rachmana, the tav avid. Rabbi Akiva saw the shul as Yoitzini beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. Everybody was crying. Rabbi Akiva mitzachek. Rabbi Akiva was able to see a silver lining. Kishachol Rabbi Eliezer, we just had the Gemara, Nichnasu Tamid of Levakre. Everybody was crying. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. The Gemara says that when the Romans tortured Rabbi Akiva to death, Rabbi Akiva was happy. He said, "Kol yom ma'ayisi mitzdayer." I used to always wonder, when am I going to be able to be mekayim this pasuk? Now I see I can be mekayim this pasuk. After Churban Beit, Rabbi Akiva was masakin the bracha of atoy v'ametiv. Point is, Rabbi Akiva had this unbelievable knack of being able to see the positive. Rabbi Akiva was also on this level where he said, Kol ma'adav rachmano l'tavav. What not everybody knows is that the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud of Nachum Ishgamzu. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva shimesh Nachum Ishgamzu chof Beis Shalom. So I don't know if he learned Torah by him. Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva had other Rebbeim. But what we do know for sure is that he was Mishamish Nachum Ishgamzu. He had Shimush by Nachum Ishgamzu. So just like Nachum Ishgamzu was Gamzu L'Toiva, Rabbi Akiva too was Kol Ma'adavid Rachmano L'Tavavid. But I heard recently somebody told me, I can't remember who told it to me, but I think he told me B'Shem Devil Nagoyen, that the Goyen said that there was a chiluk between the Madrega of Nachum Ishgamzu and the Madrega of Rabbi Akiva. Nachum Ishgamzu said Gamzu L'Toiva. Whenever you find the word Zu or Zeh, it means you're looking the thing between the eyes. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, says Rashi, Melamed Shera HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe D'Lavona. He showed him the moon and he said, Kazeh, when it looks like this, that's when you're supposed to be Mechadosh L'Lavona. Zeh always means you're looking at it. Nachum Ishgamzu was able, in real time, to see a tzara when something difficult was happening, and say, Gamzu, this right here, L'Toiva. I know it's for the good. I know it's for the good. I have this gift that I'm supposed to bring to the Romans. I open it up. I'm in the middle of the ceremony. There's no way, how could this possibly play itself out well? Gamzu L'Toiva. No, das is eichet good. He's looking at it, he said, Gamzu L'Toiva. Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud. Rabbi Akiva's Madrega was a little bit different. Rabbi Akiva's Madrega was more big picture. Kol ma da ovid rachmano l'tav ovid. Not Gamzu L'Toiva. Maybe not on that same micro level. But he was able to appreciate that even though I can't understand why this is L'Toiva and why that is L'Toiva, but I know that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is L'Toiva, because Kol Ma'adavid Rachmano L'Tavavid could be, it's not the same Madrega. There's a Madrega of Gamzu L'Toiva where you can look at this individual detail and see good in it, And then there's the Madrega of more big picture of Kol Ma Da'Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. The Chassidim tell a story that there was once a Rebbe that used to preach to his Talmidim, Kol Ma Da'Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. And this was his theme. Every Shmuz had in it a little bit of Kol Ma Da'Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. Vahi Ayoyim, one of this Rebbe's Talmidim, is on his way to Yeshiva, and he sees the Rebbetzin standing outside. And the Rebbetzin calls him over. He says, Bucha Kim Do Ahes. He goes over to the Rebbetzin. He says, you're on your way to Yeshiva? He says, yeah, you're going to see the Rebbe. He says, yeah. He says, I want you to tell the Rebbe that there was just a fire in our house. And the Rebbe's svar room, where he had all his kisveyad, it got burnt. It went up in flames. Nothing survived. Everything is gone. Looks at the Rebbetzin. He tells the Rebbetzin, I can't tell this to the Rebbe. No way. How could I tell this to the Rebbe? He says, please, I'm asking you, do me a favor. I want you to tell this to the Rebbe. So the Rebbetzin said, guys, you have no choice. You have to listen. So he's walking to Yeshiva and he's thinking in his head, how in the world is he going to break the news to him? It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, this is the Rebbe's thing that he's been working on his whole life. How could he tell them that it's all gone up in flames? So he walks into the Rebbe and he says, you know, the Rebbe always talks about Kol Ma Da'Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. He says, Emes? Father says, Emes. He says, really, it's true? He says, what do you mean it's true? Of course it's true. Everything that the Eibusha does is for the good. He says, let's say something happens that there's no way in the world to possible fathom how it could be good. It's still good. Kol Ma Da'Avid Hakol L'Rabbo. He says, everything is for the good. He says, let's say I would tell you now there was a fire in your house. And your svarim, your kisveyat, all your chedushei Torah that you've been working on for the last 75 years, everything went up in flames. Would you say it's for the good? He says, of course I would say it's for the good. He says, well, on that note, I want you to know, I'm coming from your house. The Rebbetzin told me to tell you that your svarim room went up in flames. Everything was destroyed. The Rebbe heard that and fainted. He chalished on the spot. So he revived the Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, I thought you told me it's true. So he turned to his Talmud and he said, it's true, but I never said it's easy. But that's the point. The point, it's emes. I'm not, it's emes. Kol ma David rachmano l'tav avid. But it's madrega to be able to live with it. Rabbi Akiva was able to live with the madrega. Kol ma David rachmano l'tav avid. Nochemish Gamzu was even a level greater. Gamzu l'toiv, in real time, he was able to, either way, on that note, we turn our attention from the Dor HaMabul to the Dor HaFluga. So this is the Gemara. Again, Dor HaFluga doesn't need much of an introduction. Dor HaFluga, Eilam Chelik L'Mabul. My Ovid. What did they do? Amri Devei Rav Shelo Nivne Migdol. They said, let us build a tower. V'nalo L'Rokia. And we're going to go up. We're going to ascend to the Rokia. V'naka Oysoi Bikardumois. And we're going to start hitting the Rakia with axes, Kadesh Yazuvu Meimav, so that we will empty the Rakia from all its water, so that like this, a Mabul will never be able to happen again. Meaning, in their primitive minds, I think, they thought that there would be a way to somehow take all the water from Shemayim, empty it out, there'll be no water left. If there's no water, it's not going to rain, but at the same time, there'll never be a Mabul. Like this, they'll be able to continue with their hashchasa and their chamas and their arayas and do whatever it is that they wanted to do. And at the same time, not have to be afraid that there's going to be repercussions. So the Gemara says, Mechakwa love my Rava. So when they heard this in Eretz Yisrael, they laughed. He said, really, that's what they were doing? He said, Im Kain, Livnu Achad Betura. What they should have done is they should have built it on a mountain. If you look in the Pasuk, they actually built this tower in a valley. That's silly. I mean, you should start off from the highest point possible if the goal is to get as high as possible. Elo, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Elazar, Nechelku B'Shal V'Shkitas. There were actually three groups of people that wanted to build a tower, and they were all coming from a different perspective. Achasei Meres, Nalav V'Neshav Sham. One said, let's build a tower and let's live there. Achasei Meres, Nalav V'Navid, Avodas Kechavim. The other one wanted to do it for Avodas Zarah purposes. Achasei Meres, Nalav V'Nasim, Mulcham, let's do it. We'll be able to wage war. We'll be fortified. We'll be protected. The one that said, let's build this tower and live there, their punishment was that they were spread out. The one that said, let's go up and wage war, they became monkeys, apes, the ruchais, the shedim, the liv. The one that said, let's go worship Avodah Zarah, Kisham Bala Hashem Sfas Kol Aretz, they're the ones where the Pasuk says that Hashem mixed up their language, where suddenly they're talking 70 different languages and no one's talking the same language. No, really, they were all Mechavad Hashem Avodah Zarah. The whole concept of this tower, this Migdol, was all Avodah Zarah. Ksif Ach, it says, Nasalon Hashem, Viksiv Hassam, Vishem Elihim Acherim, Lois Askirim, Al Halan Avodah Zarah, Avkan Avodah Zarah, Amrab Yechim. Migdol, The tower, Shlish Nisraf, a third of it was burnt, the top third. Shlish Nivla, a third of it was swallowed in the ground. Shlish Kayim, and one third of it still remains. Amar Rav, Rav said, Aver Migdol Mishakech. If somebody goes today, in his times, to the ear space of where this Migdol was, it makes you forget things. Forget your Torah. Amar Rav Yosef, Bavel Ubursif, Simon Rola Torah. Bavel and Bursif are the same way. My Bursif, why was Bursif called Bursif? Amar Rav Asi, Boer Shafi. It's an acronym. It's Boer that's emptied. So when a person goes to that area, his bar, so to speak, gets emptied, he forgets his Torah. So we'll get back to the Dor HaFlaga a little bit later, but for now, moving along from the Dor HaFlaga to the Anshei Sedoim, says the Gemara, Anshei Sedoim Eilem Chelek Leilem Abba, Tanu Rabban, Anshei Sedoim Eilem Chelek Leilem Abba, Shein Emar, the Anshei Sedoim Ron V'chatom L'Hashem Oy, Ron means Leilem Azeh, V'chatom Leilem Abba, Om Rav Yehuda, Ron Begufam, Ron means that they were bad with their bodies, meaning they committed sins, Begufam, such as Arayos, Vechatom b'mamoinam, and they did averus with their money. They stole, etc. Rav Begufam dechsev ve'ich esar ro agdeil azoyis vechatosik leilukim. That pasuk is in the context of Yosef and Ishes Potifar. So there, the avera was Arayos, which is an avera begufan, and you see the word ro ve'ich esar ro. So when it says v'anshei stoim ro'im, it means begufam. V'chatan b'mamoinim. How do you know that? The context over there is where somebody doesn't want to lend somebody else money because Shemitah's coming, and he knows that Shemitah's meshamet chayvos. So the pasuk says v'hoi b'chachet. Now let him make such a cheshbin. So you see chet in the context of an aver that somebody's doing with his wallet. Lashem, when it says Lashem, zu birchas Hashem, it means they were mecharif u'megadish hakadosh baruch hu me'oid shemischavim v'chaytim. They did this b'mezid. There was a certain madrega of malice and intent in premeditation in terms of the averus that they did. B'masnisa Tana, Bryce said it just the opposite. Ro'im is not begufam, it's b'mamoinam. And chatoim is begufam. Ro'im, b'mamoinam, d'chsev ro'im, chabachi chayim. Same exact parsha of not lending somebody money before Shemitah, where it says v'ayu b'chachet, it also says v'ra'ah. The same parasha, Yosef and Eshes Potifar, where it says, what are the next two words? So really, you can go either way. Hashem, zu birchas Hashem, ma'oid. In this price, ma'oid means something else. Zu shvichas dam. Shenem, v'kam dam noki shofach menashe. Harbei ma'oid. Tanu rabbanon. Anshei stoim loy nesko. Ela b'shvil toivesh yishpilem HaKadosh Baruch. You know what brought the people in stoim to do the averus that they did? It was the booming economy. It was all the toivah. It was the hashpuas toivahs that Hashem had bestowed upon Stoyim that got them to the place where they did the averus that they did. Maksiv bohem. What does the pasuk say about them? Eretz mimeno yetzei lechem. A land. I'm going to read this from the English. From which bread comes forth, meaning which once upon a time was so fertile it produced bread. V'tachteha in exchange now nepach kemoyesh. It turned into fire. Mekoyim saper avoneho va'afrei zov loy nosiv lo yodai ayet v'loy shazaf soy ayin ayo lo yidrichu b'nei shochatz lo yoda olav shochal. Pasuk says, a place where its very stones yielded sapphires, its very dust was gold. It was a path unknown to any robber, unobserved by any spy. Mighty beast had not trod it. No lion ever traversed it. Don't try this at home. Amru. So the people of Stoim said, V'chimeyach ha'she'eretz b'menu yetzei lechem. V'afro yizov, like we live in such a fertile land. This land's unbelievable. The offer, literally, the dust turns to gold. They have a money tree in their backyard. So love alone every trach. Why do we need people to pass through? We don't need them. I mean, we don't need them for economic purposes. We're doing just fine ourselves. We're a self-sustained economy. So what do we need people for? You know what they're going to do? Ain't buying the letter. They're going to come to us. They're going to want from us. They're just going to. We don't need them. We have to do something. We have to come up with a way to make it that people are going to stop passing through our city because we have nothing to gain from them. All we have is to lose. The gist of that is Let's try to find a way to get people Hanishkochim in Yiregel to stop, to forget. To get, people should know that nobody goes to study. It's off limits. Dara Shokim. I dechsev ad ono tohususu al ish tirotzchu kulchem kikir notu goder haduchuya. Talking about the perversity of stoy. Malamicha yonoyste me neighbor malimon. They would see a gvir that would come through town and they would want his money. So you know what they would do? They would set him up. Meshivinoyte etzel kir notu. They would tell him, you know, why don't you have a seat? You look tired. So they would put him down next to a wall that they knew was about to topple. And then they would make sure that it toppled. They would kill him, and then it was easy. Obama Neitlin, that's my money. They would take his money. Dara Shafim, I dechsev chaser b'choshech batim yoimam chismu lamoi lo yadu or chaser b'choshech batim. When it was dark, in the nighttime, people would go and they would dig underneath the houses so that they should be able to sneak into people's homes and steal things from them. What they would do is they would see people that had money. They would ask them, will you do me a favor? I have this incense, this afar simon. Would you watch it for me? They would say, sure. They would keep it and put it together with the things that they were watching, put it in their safe. That night, they would break into the person's house. They would want to know where the safe is. Hey, you know where the safe is? They knew there was afar simon there. So they start sniffing around for the afar simon. Literally, like a dog. That's where they knew to dig. That was their patent. That's how they were able to walk off with all the money. Again, more psukim, all in Eoiv, talking about the horrors of Sodom. I'll read it in English. They would allow the naked to spend the night unclothed, no garment to shield against the cold. They drive away the orphan's donkey, take the widow's ox in pledge. They move back boundary markers, have stolen flocks, and take them out to graze. He will be taken to the burial ground, be hastened to the mount. Point is, just the most unbelievable achzarias that you can fathom. Rabbi Yossi was in Tzipori. That's where he was Rav. And he was once giving a drasha, and he was talking about some of these mechanisms that the people of Sodom would use to go steal from people, says the Gemara. That night, there were 300 break-ins. 300 people broke into people's houses. Why? Because they just got ideas for Rabbi Yossi's shmuz. Also, so people came to Rabbi Yossi to come and sarile. Amrile, they told me, why are you giving these people ideas? I don't understand. Tonight, you had to give them, you told them, you know, it's time they had this chop, and they, you know, they used to break in this way, and this is how they committed that type of fraud. He says, what are you giving them ideas for? Amrile, they told him, you have this. Amrulu, me have you done it? Us ganavim. He says, why would I have expected that people in Tzipori were ganavim? To me, I thought it was Torah. We had a similar Gemara once upon a time where I think Rabbi Yochanan said, "Oily amagid, oily lo yagid." Right? Rabbi Yochanan was conflicted. He said he wasn't sure. Sometimes you learn Gemaras. He said, "Should we talk about it? I mean, should we talk about the Ramos? Or you know, maybe it's better that we don't. Either way, kinoch nafshi." The Rabbi Yossi passed away. Shafi marzevi the Tzipori dama. The gutters of Tzipori poured out not water but blood. Why blood, and why Tzipori, and why is this Gemara mentioned here? So this is actually something we spoke about a very long time ago. This is Gemara Masechtas Ma'akotin, the Inkam Mekoyim L'Harech. Rashi says that we just mentioned that Rabbi Yossi was Rav in Tzipori. So, but Derech Agav, when Rabbi Yossi passed away, the gutters in Tzipori poured blood. Amri, more about Sodom. They used to say, this lechat Torah, if somebody owns one ox, Mari Chai Yoyim, so he must graze all the oxen of Sodom for one day. The less like, let's say somebody doesn't even own one ox. He has no ox as an Udaman. Liri Treyay. So he would be responsible to graze all the oxen in the city for 2 days. Does it make sense? No. But that's the theme of Stoim. Everything was counterintuitive. It made absolutely no sense. Ahu Yasu Bar Malta. The Gemara says it was a person. He was a Yasin, son of a Yasima. Oh, they Tairi Lemire. So they gave him once Tairim to watch. He didn't have any of his own Shvarim. He didn't have his own oxen. Because he had no oxen, so his responsibility was twofold of what everybody else had to do. Everybody had to watch one day. You have to pay twice the amount of taxes. Why? Because you made no money. That makes sense. So the Gemara says, tax the poor. So he went and he took these oxen. He was pretty upset. And he killed them. And then afterwards, the people came and they found that the entire herd, it was all dead. So then he said, now what are we going to do with all these carcasses? He said, the Islay Torah, this Kochad Mashka. He said, anyone that had a shar, gets one. The last leitura, someone that didn't have the shor, nishkol trei mashki. He takes two. Amar lei mai hai. He says, it's illogical. It doesn't make any sense. Amar lehu, he says, really? Soif dina, ketchivas dina. Ma tchivas dina. It sounds like a sugi in Bavakam. Ma tchivas dina, di islei teira. Mari chad yoimo. Just like you told me that somebody that has one tar, one shor, has to watch one day. But the last leitura, if he doesn't have any, mari trei yoimi, he would have to watch 2 days. So too now, that the animals are dead, and it comes time to split them up, we have to figure out what to do with the hide, and to do with these dead animals. This lechater, if you had one, lishkol chad, take one. The less lechater, but if you had none, lishkol tre, I'm going to take two. They used to say as follows, the avar ben mavra nesef chadzuza. So if you pass the bridge, you went across a bridge, you have to pay a toll, so you'd have to pay one zuz. The lo yavar ben mavra, let's say you were able to get into the city without crossing the bridge, so nesef tre, you have to pay, not $11 or $22, whatever the Verzano is these days. The Havale Dara Delivne, people would have, let's say, bricks. They're building a house outside, they're laying the bricks, they're about to build a house. So people would get together and each person would take one brick. Now at the end, this guy had nothing. But he would go over to each person, he would say, you stole my bricks. I stole you, I took one brick. What's a brick already? I thought, what is it? $3 for that, you're gonna make me crazy. All I took was what? Navishadi to me a mashki. People would sometimes they would take their vegetables and they would put it out in the sun to dry. So a bunch of people, a gang would come together, and each one would take one person. Amalei, say, what do you want from me? I know chadi, I took one onion. You're gonna drive me crazy for a clove of garlic, seriously? There were 4 dayanim that lived in Stein. What were their names? Shakroi, Vishakrurai, Zaifi, Umatzli Dinos. These are all synonyms of the same thing, which suggests, I don't know if these were their real names, or these were names that Chazal gave them simply because of the way they went about doing their business. The Machli, the Itza, the Chavre, Umapli, if somebody would hit his friend's wife and cause her to miscarry, so she would summons him to court, there would be a court case, and you know what the judge would say? Amrile, you have an Ale. You cause this woman to miscarry a child, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to replace the child. So they would take this woman, give her to this man, so that he can now impregnate her so that she can have another child. Then Habri Nalich. The Pasuk Levo Udna the Chamar. If somebody would bite off or take off the ear of somebody's donkey, the Chabri Omele, they would tell him, Habri Nalich, Adekadcha. I hear. You now have to take care of this donkey. Why should he be responsible for this donkey? You take the donkey until it grows its ears back. When it grows its ears back, then you're going to return it to its real owner. The Padalei Lechavre, if somebody would hit his friend and cause him to bleed, Amrile, they would tell him, Havle Agra, give him money. He says, 1 second. I owe him money? He owes me money. He hurt me. He says, yeah, the Shakalach Dama. In the olden days, they used to bloodlet. And bloodlet was something, unless you had insurance, right? Copays, whatever, you'd have to pay for it. It was considered, that was a classic form of refuah. So if you hit somebody and now the guy's gushing blood, you know, I owe him a lot of money because he was bloodletting. The avar b'mavro yav arba zuzi. If somebody would cross the river on a boat, you would have to pay 4 zuzim. The avar b'maya, not b'mavro, on a boat. But rather b'maya, if you would swim across, you have tamni zuzim. So if you took a taxi, you'd have to pay 4 zuzim. But if you walked, now you have to pay 8 zuzim. So the Gemara says, a head scratcher. Says, there was a kaives. They told him, have arba zuzi. Give us 4 zuzim. You know, you came into Stein, you got here somehow. Assume you took a cab, an Uber, whatever, you owe us 4 zuzim. Amalu, he told him, Abamai Avri. He says, no, I swam. Amalu, Ohim Kane, he was like, have Tamni, give me 8. So the guy started putting up a fight. Lo Yoiv, he didn't want to give it to Padu. So the guy hit him. He was bleeding. Also, the Kami the Dynasty. He went in front of a judge and he said, judge, this is really crazy. He says, number one, I walked into town, I swam into town, and they want me to pay a toll that's double. Then I get into a fight. This guy beat me up, so I want restitution here. You have to take care of me. Amalei, so he told him, listen, Havle agru de shakalok dama, utam ni zuzin, davriz b'maya. Our verdict is that you owe not 4 zuzin, but 8 zuzin, because you have to pay double for not using our services. And by the way, the fact that he hit you means you owe him money because he bloodlet. This was a day in the life of Stein. Eliezer Eved Avram, Isra'mi Hassam. Eliezer Eved Avram was once in Stein. Pad you. Somebody hit him. You probably heard the story. Also, the Kami Daina. And he went in front of a judge. They told him, Havli Agri the Shagalach Dhamma. He says, give him money. You owe him money. He just bloodlet. Shakal Glola. So Eliezer was an Eved of Avraham Avinu, has given a Kliga Yid. So what he did was, he took a rock or a stick, and he hit the judge. Padu ila dayono. Omar, he says, my hi, what are you doing? Amalei, he said, listen, you now owe me money, so why don't you just give the money you owe me to my buddy and we'll call it even. Agud enough aglok minach. Exactly. Haven na leila hai. Vizudi didi kedekai mikai mi. We'll call it a day. Havi leit pur yaisa. There was a bed in stone. Tavi magdala orchin. That they would put orchin to sleep on. Ki mairich. If the person was taller than the bed, geizle. They would chop off his legs. Ki gutz. If he was too short, maschale, they would stretch him. Eliezer Avram Iklas. Eliezer Avram was in stone. Amrle, they told him, Kungni Apurya. Eliezer, why don't you lie down on this bed? Amalusi told him, Nidrana Nadri, I made a neder, min yoyme de misas imale ganin apurya. From the day that my mother died, I'm not going to sleep on a bed anymore. And mourning, avelus, I'm not going to sleep on the bed. Yisrami lu anya, if a poor person would come to stone, yovale kol chad vechadin. Everybody would give him a dinar. So this is a man who's starving to death. And he knocks on people's doors. And people felt, I mean, he's starving to death. You have to give him a dinar, right? You have to give him something. So each person would give him a dinar. But Kasif Shmeale, they would write their name on the dinar. Viriftale have a mamtile. And there was already an understanding, nobody would give him bread. So all this person had was money. Now eventually he raised money. So he's walking around with 100 dinarim in his pocket. But he doesn't have lechem lecha. And eventually he would die. Kavi miss when he would die. Everybody would come back and they would take their dinar. They had their name on it. So they know which dinar belonged to them. Unbelievable. They had the following rule amongst themselves. If somebody invites somebody to a wedding, l'shalach glima, we're going to take off his clothing publicly. He's going to be publicly shamed. I mean, you cannot invite a guest even to a chasana. Nope. If you live in Stoyim, yeah. But from outside, you can't have any guests coming in from outside. And if you do, your punishment is going to be, you're going to be publicly shamed. We are going to take your clothing off. There was a chasna. Eliezer Eved Avram was invited to this wedding. Nobody wanted to give him any bread because they were afraid. If they gave him something to eat, they're going to be publicly shamed. But he was really hungry. So the Gemara says, so Eliezer sits down. Amalei told him, he starts making conversation. So who are you? Nice to meet you. I'm Eliezer Eved Avram. Really? So he says, who invited you here? So he points to somebody. He says, Yosef, this person, you're the one that invited me. So this person got pretty scared when he heard that. Now, I don't know if it was true or it wasn't true, but whether it was or wasn't, he got really scared. So the Gemara shakal glime ahudi yosef. He took his rentzel, his umbrella, and he ran for his life. He didn't want to have anything to do with this. He was afraid that he was going to be embarrassed. Virat Lavra, and he left. The chen of the kul, the Eliezer says, you know something, it wasn't him. It was the other guy. In the meantime, everybody left. So they were real achzor, but clearly not the sharpest tools in the shed. Either way, Adanafkeith kulu. Until they all left, Va'achli il the sudasa, and Eliezer had a big suda that he was able to eat all for himself. Havya hi revisa, and this story is perhaps the defining story of the Anshei Stoyim. There was a young girl, Tava Kamafka Rifta La Anya Bechatzba. She had in her Rachmanis, and she couldn't tolerate what she saw, that there are Ani and people that are coming. They have everything in the world. Their dust is like gold, Eev said. And here they're not willing to share anything. So she went out of her way. She was Moiser Nefesh, and she would feed the poor. Igloy Milsa. And people found out about it. Shafyu Dufsha. So they took her, and they smeared her with honey. For Ukmal Egashur, they put her on top of a wall. Asizi Bur Vachlu. And bees came, and they tortured her, they bit her, they ate her until she finally died. That's what the pasuk means when it says, Hashem tells Avram, Zaka Stoyvamoyro Kirabo. I heard the screaming of Stoyim, I can't tolerate it anymore. I have to destroy the Stoyim. What does it mean, Zaka Stoyvamoyro Kirabo? It's a play on words. It's referring to this Riva, this young girl, a Riva, an Aramaic. He heard the cries of this Riva. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. At that point, says Hashem, I can't tolerate it anymore. Done. I have no choice. But at this point, I'm going to have to destroy Sodom. Either way, that concludes the Anshei Stoyim portion of the Da. So just a few Ha'aris before we conclude. That is, so there's a lot to talk about. And it's, of course, this week's Parsha as well. But I just thought to pick on really the beginning when Stoyim gets introduced to us right at the very beginning, where Hashem, right after the Malachim leave Avraham Avinu, so Hashem says Vayomer. Just find the pasuk inside. Here, pages were stuck together. Vashem Omar, Hashem said, Vayakumu Misham Anoshim. So after the three Malachim, the Anoshim, they come to Avraham Avinu, Shlishi Bemila, Hachnas Asorchim, Vayakumu Misham Anoshim. They get up and they now have to go on their next mission. Vayashkifu, and they gaze al Pnei Sodom. They look in the direction of Sodom. That's where they're headed now. They have a mission. Their mission is to destroy Sodom and to save Lloyd. Vavram Hoylechim Amashach, Avraham Avinu was going together with them. Vashem Omar, as Avram is backlighting these three malachim, his three guests, and he's walking them. Hashem says, "Amechase ani me'Avram asher ani yosa." Should I not tell Avram what it is that I'm about to do? I'm about to destroy Sodom. I have to tell Avram Avinu why. Avram hoya yeh the goy god of Atzam, because Avram Avinu one day is going to be an Av Hamoin goy. He's going to be the father of a very, very mighty nation, a goy god of Atzam. The nivrchu boy kol goyei ha'aretz, and all the nations of the land are going to get brocha through this goy god of Atzam. Ki yedativ, because I know, lemana sheyetzaves bonav es beis ayachrav, that Avram Avinu is going to teach his children. He's going to be mechanech his children in the right way. Vishamu derech Hashem, and as a result, they are going to observe the ways of Hashem. Lasois tztoka u'mishpat leman hovi Hashem al Avram es asher dibar olav. So Hashem, with this very mysterious preface, says that how can I not tell Avram Avinu what I'm about to do? I'm about to destroy it. So I didn't tell Avram. I have to tell him. Why? Because Avram, how you the guy God of Atzim, never come back to God of Yaretz. Ki yedatev l'mana sheyitzav ves bonav ves beisei achrav v'shomru derech Hashem lasis stoku mishpat l'man hovi Hashem al Avram es asher diber olav. And because of that, v'yoymer Hashem, Hashem turns to Avram and he tells him the pasuk we just read. Zaka stoim v'amoyro ki robo v'chatosom ki kov demoyd er dono v'era hakitzakos aboy lai osu kolav em lo yehito. I want to find out what's really going on. And Hashem tells Avram what he's about to do. Avram starts negotiating with him. You're going to destroy a whole city. Aren't there any tzaddikim? 10 tzaddikim, 5 tzaddikim, 1 tzaddik. And that's the whole negotiation. Avram can't find even one tzaddik to try to save Stoim. Stoim gets destroyed. Lloyd is speared, and the rest is history. But the cash is obvious. If Hashem wanted to tell Avram what he was about to do Sodom, he could have told Avram. There's so many nevuahs. Chazon Yeshayo, Hashem comes to Yecheskel, you have Amos Micha. You have all the nevuahs that the Nevi'im were told, and there's no hakdama, there's no introduction that, should I tell Amos what I'm about to do? Can I not tell Amos? It's a nevuah. Hashem spoke to Nevi'im. Hashem communicated with the Avos, with Moshe, with Aharon. I mean, there's no shortage of nevuahs throughout Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Why? With this one nevuah that you have this introduction. So it's Yeduah, and we've spoken about this in the daf many, many times. It's something that always comes up, the Chasam Sofer, that he says in so many different places, that Vaizen Vaisachos, that really, Avraham Avinu was not on the level. He wasn't on the Madregas HaNevuah, where Hashem should have told him what was going to take place. He wasn't on the Madregas HaNevuah. Avraham Avinu was really not on the level where he should have received this nevuah. And it's for that reason that really Hashem wasn't going to tell him. But you know why Avram wasn't on the level to have received this nevuah? It was because Avram Avinu had taken away so much time that he could have used to personally shteik, to do chesed, to do kiruv, for achila, for shtiyah, levaya, to give discovery seminars. He had done so much to do that. He was running fellowship programs. And it was because of that that he hadn't achieved his shleimus. And Hashem felt that a person cannot, will not ever lose because of time that he gives up to somebody else. And that's the cheshbon, and that's the limud. That really Avram Avinu isn't supposed to get this. But I'm a chasenim Avram, how can I not tell Avram Avinu? The reason Avram Avinu is not on the Madrega is because of everything that he does. It's ki yedatu v'man ashi yitzav ez bonav ez beis ayachru v'shomu darach Hashem. It's because of all the time that he's giving up for everybody else. And if that's the reason that he's doing it, he can't lose out as a result of it. And it's for that reason, despite the fact that he's not on the Madrega to know, I'm going to tell him anyways. There's a var from the Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid said, what does the pasuk mean? Hashem's not going to tell Avram, but he says, how can I not tell him? Avram, how you hear? The guy Gadol, the Atzam. So he explained it, of course, with a mashal. He says, there was once a suit store that was holding a big sale. It was a big sale. And a person walks in, and he says, he needs to buy suits. Who are you buying them? For your children. So he tells him, really, for your children, okay, what sizes do you need? So he tells him, he needs a size 4, a 6, an 8, a 10, a 12, a 14, a 16. He says, really, you need so many suits? I mean, how many kids do you have? He says, I'll tell you the truth, I have a lot of kids. And when this kid is a little younger, that kid's going to be a little bit older, and I just always need suits. I have a lot of boys in my house. I need suits. Give me whatever you can get, because what's good for this one will be good for that one. Everything, this is what I need. So he said, said the Dubna Magid, that we know that there's no such thing as a prayer going unanswered. Every single tefillah is answered. See, he said that Hashem knew that when Avram Avinu was going to find out that he's about to destroy Sodom, what was Avram Avinu going to do? He was going to daven, which is exactly what he did. And Hashem also knew that he wasn't going to answer Avram Avinu's tefillahs, because Sodom at the end of the day deserved to be destroyed. The Anshei Sodom, Ram v'chatom l'Hashem mo'ed. They were going to be wiped out. But at the same time, Avram Avinu's tefillahs were going to be saved. They were going to be saved for some future generation. Because at the end of the day, no tefillah ever goes unanswered. So Hashem says, I'm a chasim in Avram Hashem. He says, should I not tell Avram what I'm about to do? Avram one day is going to be a goy gadol va'atzum. Avram is going to have a lot of children. He's going to have a lot of einakloch. And Avram's children and Avram's einakloch are going to need yeshuas. They're going to need refuas. They're going to need parnasa. They're going to need nachas. They're going to need tefillahs. So let me tell Avram Avinu now what I'm about to do. Because I know what Avram is going to do. He's going to daven. And these tefillahs will be there with Dairi Dairis to be able to protect his grandchildren, this guy God of Atzim, in future generations. I once heard the Pasuk says, V'aschanon el Hashem be'isahi lemar. Lemar always means l'dairis. Because I'll say, wherever it says the word lemar, it means I'm telling you something that's pertinent to future generations. V'aschanon el Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu davening. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael, Ebra Nova Era, l'dairis. Moshe Rabbeinu davened tefillahs k'minyan v'aschanon, Chazal say. He davened 515 tefillahs. What was his tefillah? I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Did Moshe Rabbeinu go into Eretz Yisrael? No. Solkadaitachamina, I would have thought that all those tefillahs were exist. They went to waste because Moshe didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. His prayers were never answered. Says the Pasuk, it doesn't work that way. V'aschanun al Hashem be'isahi leimar. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs weren't answered then, but they were ledoiris. There were times in the future of Klal Yisrael where the Yidden need Yeshuas, and the Yeshua came because of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs. V'aschanun al Hashem be'isahi leimar. That's the Dubna Magid's chap. I know what Avram Avinu is going to do. You know what he's going to do? He's going to daven. And if he's going to daven, and I don't answer his tefillahs, he's now going to have stored up in his account tefillahs that we can use for future, and we're going to need them. Because Avram, but I saw an unbelievable machshava in the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says a different shit. He says that we just mentioned the Dor HaMabul, we mentioned the Dor HaFlaga, and we mentioned the Anshei Sodom. You know, the Dor HaMabul was completely wiped out. Noach, his family, they're the only ones that survived. Sodom was completely wiped out. The Dor HaFlaga wasn't wiped out. They were dispersed, but they weren't destroyed. They weren't completely wiped out. The question is why? Why the Dor HaMabul and the Anshei Sodom were completely wiped out and the Dor HaFlaga not? And if you think about it, it's Hepech HaSfaro. Because the Dor HaMabul, they were Balei Taiva. The Dor of Anshei Sodom, they were Balei Taiva. The Dor HaFlaga, that was Kfira. It was Avodah Zarah. They thought they were going to build a tower, fight Hashem, all Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah. So if anything, you would think Hashem has less tolerance for Avodah Zarah than he has for everything else. So how is it possible that the Dor HaMabul and Anshei Sodom completely wiped Gofres for Melech, straight for Kol Arzah, Vayimachis Kol HaYikum? But when it comes to the Dor HaFlaga, they're spread out. Punishment, I'm not sure what the punishment was. Mishom Efitzim Hashem Apnei Aretz, Bolal Hashem Sfas Kol Aretz. So you know who asks the Kasha? Rashi asks the Kasha. Rashi in Parashas Noach. The Chiezei Kasha, says Rashi. Shall Dor HaMabul or shall Dor HaFlaga? Which was worse? Who do you think did a bigger Avera? Says Rashi. It's Pashit. If you're asking me, the Dor HaFlaga did something worse. Elu loy Pashtu Yad Ve'Iker. The Elu Pashtu Yad Ve'Iker. Kaviyochali Lachim Boy. The Dor HaFlaga wanted to fight with Hashem. The Elu Nishtafu. The Elu loy Nevdom in Oilon. Doesn't make any sense. Says Rashi. Listen to Rashi. Elu shall Dor HaMabul hoyu gazlonim. V'hoysa meriva b'neyem. They didn't get along. There was machloikis. Lokach nevdu, that's why they were wiped out. The Elu, but the Dor HaFlaga was just the opposite. What did they do? They came together. Hava nerda v'novel. They all got amecha, the Pasuk says. Noyag in ahava v'reyus b'neim. Shenema sofa achas v'dvar machodim. They had achdus. Lomaduto, you know what you learn from here? Shesonu yamachloikis v'godol ha'shalom. You know what the answer is? The answer is that achdus, Shalom, saves, it protects, and machloikis could destroy. Loi nechtem gzar dinam el ala chomas. That was said regarding the Dara Mabel. The Dara Mabel had chomas. Sedoim, it was yad oni ve'evim loi chsika. We just learned the Gemara's right now. It was all about achzorius, the riva achas, the cries of the riva achas. That was the downfall of the Dara Mabel and the Anshei Sedoim. It's for that reason there was machloikis. They didn't get along. That's why they got wiped out. The Dara Flogas Averis were worse. They were koifrim, but they were koifrim in unison. They did it together. It was unanimous. And being that they came together as a unit, the koyach of achdus, that's what spared them. That's how they were saved. Says the Ksav Sofer, Hashem wanted Avram Avinu to know that. But how was Avram Avinu supposed to know that? How was he going to know? How was he supposed to know this such important message, the importance of Shalom? So I'll read it to you inside. Hine, Pirish Rashi, Hachiluk ben Dara Floga ben Dara Mabel, Kidara Mabel, Shayu Rasa meno Adam the Chaver, Hayo Inchem Godo, Vikolu meno Arts, Masha'en Kane, Bidar HaFloga. So he says, it's for that reason Hashem went, Kizer Rotza Hashem, the Mashagil Avram Meister Stoim. So he told him about the Meister Stoim. Ki you might, so you should learn, She Yoysir Manish Hashem Yuzbarach Alavera Sheben Adam. So this is how you have to read the pasuk said the Ksav Sofer. Should I not tell Avram what I'm about to do? Avram is going to have a very powerful nation one day. And here's the punchline. I know that if I tell Avram what I'm about to do, and Avram is going to know he lived in the times of the Dara Flaga. Avram Avinu was 48 years old at the time of the Dara Flaga. 48 years old at the time of the Dara Flaga. According to some midrashim, how old was Avram Avinu, by the way, when he was Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu? 48 years old. The Gemara says 3, the Rambam says 40, but Chazal say 48. I heard once from Reb Shmuel Yankiv Zatzar. He said that, why 48? Because it was Elu Umazeh. Whenever there's a Koyach HaTumah in the world, Elu Umazeh, there has to be a Koyach HaKadosh. The whole world chapped onto the Koyach HaTumah, but Avram Ivri, Avram was Be'ivir Echad. Avram chapped onto that stafka at that exact moment when Avram Avinu reaches his shlemus. When you see so much tumah in the world, it's an opportunity for a person. But the bottom line is, so Avram Avinu had seen the Dar HaFloga. He knew the Dar HaFloga had survived. He knew the story. Now all of a sudden, Stoim is being wiped out. You know what the answer is going to be? Because the Dar HaFloga, they were Safa Echad. But this generation can't get together. So what's Avram Avinu going to do when he gets this lesson? He's going to tell his children. He's going to tell them the importance of lasu staka umishpat to get along. And if they get along, then I can give them all the brachas that I promised them in Parashas Lech Lecha. Because if the Yidden don't get along, if there's machlokes, I can't give them brachas. So Hashem says, this is my opportunity to show Avram Avinu a message that he needs to know, that his Ein HaKlach have to know. If I don't show it to him, how's he going to know? So this is the perfect opportunity, Hashem says. I'm going to destroy Sedoim. I didn't destroy the Dar HaFloga. I'm going to tell Avram, you know what the reason is? Dar HaFloga had achdus, they didn't have achdus. Ki yedativ, what's Avram Avinu going to do? What is a wise person? He hears and he acts upon it. He's going to tell his children, to do what? What's the emphasis here? And it's in that vein that I'll be able to bring upon him all that bracha.